that a big eye looked at her from heaven. Heaven. It was from hell.
Let's go rest, Doc.
Why not, friend? Cawdor shall sleep, and Glamis too hereafter. And on the morrow, I will go to see the cherry hung with snow.
The redoubt was silent, except for the barely perceptible stirrings and vibrations of the ceaseless nuke power plant that ran the complex, keeping it lighted and heated, with all the main control consoles occasionally chattering to one another. The Krontemp part of the redoubt slept. Mildred and JB had bundled together in a side room. Doc had chosen the suite with the tapes and viewer. Abe and Dean were sleeping in an office, the gunner's occasional snores resonating through the whole section. And Ryan and Christy occupied the office of the head of internal security for Krontemp. The door was nearly closed. Both had stripped off their top layer of clothes, making sure their blasters were close at hand, though being in the deepest part of a lost redoubt was probably one of the safest places in all Deathlands. As Christy kicked off her boots, Ryan had come up behind her and kissed her on the back of the neck, the long strands of her burning hair brushing against his cheek.
Hey, not more of your incessant demands.
Yeah, afraid so, lover.
The long stay at the Lauren spread had given them an unusual opportunity for prolonged lovemaking, without the threat of attack. They'd retired to their bedroom at least once a day, mostly at night, but on occasion, in the sultry heat of the mid-afternoon. Now they lay close together under their coats. The temperature in most redoubts was controlled in the middle 70s, comfortable enough. Christy's strong hands roamed over his chest, touching Ryan's nipples. Her mouth nuzzled at his neck, her tongue darting in and out. He contented himself by lowering his head toward her breasts, bringing the fiery tips to an aching hardness.
Oh, that's real nice, lover.
Yes, it is.
Her fingers wandered lower, across the hard, ridged wall of his stomach, finding him sprung to eager life. Her left hand cupped him, while her right hand began a steady, stroking movement. His fingers moved rhythmically, deep between Christy's thighs. She pulled him on top of her, guiding him in with her hand. There was enough light filtering in from the corridor for him to watch her face as he thrust hard. Her eyes were closed, her lips slightly parted in a satisfied smile. Afterward, they lay close together until she wriggled down to rouse Ryan again with her mouth, swinging on top of him to spur him along toward a second pounding climax. Only then did they fall asleep, locked tight in each other's arms. In another room, less than 20 yards away, Doc sat and watched the flickering seconds of black and white film, again and again.
You sure you're up to this, Doc?
Ryan was rewarded with a wide smile, which showed Doc's uncannily perfect set of large teeth.
My dear fellow, I am as chipper as a nipper and as spruce as a goose. Let us do it!
They had all met up in the early morning in the central zone of the Krontemp unit. Doc looked in reasonable shape, though Ryan had already noticed that the old man's eyes were red-rimmed and sore. But there was a desperate gaiety about him, like a young girl, mortally ill with consumption, determined to attend one last dance before passing out of this life. Ryan could tell that Doc was on tenterhooks to get into the heart of the Krontemp section, but he was making a great play of not really being interested at all.
Perhaps others among you would wish to pass by this place? I would be the first, yes, the very first to admit that it holds some of the grimmest memories possible.
I want to take a look in the outer garage.
Oh, but we can do that on our way out of the redoubt, can we not, John Barrymore?
Doc licked his lips nervously as he looked at the armorer. His knuckles had whitened on the head of his sword stick.
Yeah, I guess so.
Ryan almost smiled at the sweating relief on the face of the old man.
Come on then, friends. Let's go see.
After a half hour's exploration, several of the companions reached more or less the same conclusion at more or less the same time.
Am I losing my mind, or is this set up for an experimental run?
Christy nodded, looking up from one of the comp screens that had engaged her interest.
Looks like that to me, too.
Doc was streaming with perspiration, unable to keep still, constantly darting from screen to screen, from console to console, reading streams of figures and nodding furiously to himself. His lips moved as if he were involved in some internal conversation. When the two women spoke, he whirled around like a dervish, arms hugging himself.
Yes! Oh, yes! You are correct, my dear sweet ladies. Everything has been put in readiness for 3 separate trawlings.
Who are they, and where do they come from?
Ah, now that may be more deeply coded and hidden, Master Cawdor. But we can access the references that would at least give us names and dates.
Ryan slapped the flat of his hand down hard onto the desk in front of him.
Hold it. Just hold it, will you?
Duck froze, fingers poised over the keyboard.
Oh, what can be wrong, my dear companion?
Let's take this a short step at a time. You know how profoundly miserable your life has been made by those bastards pulling you out of your own time. So you're thinking about doing this to 3 other poor devils.
Doc started to reply, hesitated, then looked away.
Fair comment, Doc. These 3 of the machines are all set to bring into our time? What the fuck have they done to deserve that?
They did it to me. Why should I not be allowed to do the same thing to them?
Come on, that's no answer.
Christie's face was flushed with anger.
We aren't talking about the scientists who trolled you. They're all long, long dead and rotted. These are 3 others minding their own business and getting on with life. Can you throw the switch on them?
Indubitably. Without the slightest pang of conscience. Most of the latter research, after a number of failures, was aimed at short-term cron jumps. If we check out who the 3 are and where they come from, I believe we might discover they are from the late 90s, perhaps only days before Skydark and the beginnings of the long winters.
You mean they would have been trawled from the immediate past?
The experiments were less than successful. I was about their only triumph, if that is the correct word. Some of the negatives that came through were less than whole.
Ryan rubbed at his forehead, trying to clear his thoughts. To actually get someone from just before the nuclear holocaust that destroyed the civilized world was immensely fascinating, and had long been a dream of his.
So, if what you say is right, it's probable that all 3 of these...
victims.
I was gonna say subjects. These subjects probably died within a short time of when the experiment was set. To bring them here would...
save their lives! Precisely, my dear Ryan!
Show me the dates.
The screen suddenly went dark. Then it came up with 3 short paragraphs. Everyone stared at them as if they might somehow contain the missing answer to the riddle of the universe. The first entry said, Dolphin 1.
What's that mean?
The word the Kronos experts used for their victims. Trawled dolphins.
Dolphin 1. Male, aged 42. Then a string of numbers that Doc said was encoded information on the subject's height, build, blood type, etc. Graham Oswald Vare. Domicile, Mitford City, Wisconsin. Occupation, clerk in sports equipment store. Parents deceased, unmarried, no siblings.
After the problems that they had with me, it was decided in future to only try to troll single people with no living relatives. Generally friendless loners, but not always.
Ryan looked at Doc.
But these men had the unlimited authority and power to just pluck anyone out of the air?
Oh yes, dear friend. They were above the law and beyond any reason.
The date shown on the screen confirmed what Doc had said about the potential victims being picked on trawl dates very late in the 20th century. Graham Oswald Vare was slated to be lifted on December 30th, 2000, at 5 in the morning. Dolphin 2 was female, aged 39, Dolores May Melville. Her residence was given as Tehachapi in California.
I know that. It's on the highway from Barstow to Los Angeles. No, to Bakersfield. There was nothing much there except a big old penitentiary.
Dolores was due to be trawled the same day as Graham Vare, but 45 minutes later. The 3rd of the time jump subjects was due to be picked off another 45 minutes after that. Michael Brother was 19 years old, from Nil Vanity in California. His profession was oblate, and he was expert in Tao Teen Do.
What in dark nights an oblate when it's at home?
Everyone was